Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. This is Chuck Smith, and I'm here to bring you the preview show ahead of the German national team's international friendly versus France happening over the weekend. Should be a fun opportunity for fans to get to take a look at what Julian Nagelsmann has in store for this group. Of course, we all know, given how Nagelsmann tinkers with his personnel, this roster we're seeing this weekend could be completely different by the Euro 2024 competition, but who knows? We'll see how it goes. We have to judge each game in and of itself, and this will be a good way to start because France, as we know, is no slouch. This will be a huge test for Germany. I am sort of interested to see how serious France takes this match because we know that Germany's going to be fully focused on trying to build something. I mean, we're going on years and years and years of Germany not really establishing anything. I guess there was a sliver of time there at the beginning of the Hansi Flick era where it really did look like things were going to turn. The team was playing much better, but then it all fell off of the cliff. I mean, it was a precipitous fall, and Flick really never recovered. Once they took that first punch to the face, Flick's group never was the same. And I'm very interested to see what happens with Nagelsmann because he is not exactly a coach who endears himself to his rosters. It's not as if you're going to have this strong sentiment to go out and win one for the coach. In a lot of ways, this is a group that's actually going to have to rely on the pride of itself. They're going to have to think about what the perception will be of how they perform as a group, how Germany and its fans will perceive them and how it will feel about them as individuals if they continue this just awful fall that has been going on for years and years and years now. I always point back to the 2017 Confederations Cup as the last time Germany was great. I mean, they sent a B team and won a pretty big tournament. Since then, though, it's just been one failure after another with slight bits of hope here and there, but just not much, not enough. And Julian Nagelsmann, for a guy that is on a short-term assignment here, he's got a lot to fix and a lot to rally in a short amount of time. So this is one of those instances where I don't know that Germany had any other options when they hired Nagelsmann. I mean, it was a tough spot, but putting him into this spot, this position, and having him try and lead this group, I mean, it's an interesting thought for sure. I just don't know if I can fully get into it and buy into it right now. This is not the type of scenario where Nagelsmann would seemingly thrive. But as I said on the weekend warm-up podcast last week, I don't know. Maybe his unpredictability and the way that he's kind of aloof and how he manages players, maybe it will work in this format. Maybe I'm overthinking things, but who knows? Nagelsmann, though, is absolutely going to have a massive influence on how all this plays out. And we'll get a good look against France and against the Netherlands at how this will all play out for Germany and what Nagelsmann is thinking heading into the Euros. This is a very, very different looking German side. There are some names that we have become accustomed to seeing not there. Leon Goretzka was left out. Serge Gnabry was left out. Leroy Sané was left out. Of course, for Sané, it was because, well, he's suspended, so it really wasn't an option. Otherwise, surely he would be there. But there are a lot of fresh faces, a lot of players that, quite frankly, I would have never thought would have gotten this opportunity. But it's not as if they're not deserving. When you talk about Valdemar Anton, Jean-Nicolas Beste, Denis Ondov, you go right down the list, Chris Furyk, Maximilian Bayer, Robert Andrich. These are all players who have had good, impactful seasons at the club level. Now they have to somehow try and come together as a team with this interesting mix of young players and veterans, guys that have been through it and won it and won the World Cup. Players like Thomas Muller, Manuel Neuer, Toni Kroos. You have great, great all-time players. And then you have these guys that are new and fresh-faced and on the scene, some young, some older, some mid-career. It's an interesting conglomeration of talent, and I am very eager to see what Nagelsmann can do with it. Am I overly confident? Absolutely not. But I do think this is an interesting mix, and I think there's a lot of possibility there. I just don't know how it's all going to come together. So when we look at how Nagelsmann put this squad together, why could it work? How could this all work? Well, if you think about it, Nagelsmann has put together some very key veterans who could be very impactful either as starters or as bench players when you look at Thomas Muller, Manuel Neuer, Toni Kroos, Ilkay Gundogan. Now, listen, I have not been the biggest fan of Gundogan, but Nagelsmann is all in on him. So he sees something. He understands that there's a need for a veteran presence on this squad, and whether those guys ultimately play a lot or play a little. And I think when you look at Muller and Muller is probably the only veteran who's probably not going to be someone who gets a lot of time. But when you look at Kroos and Gundogan and Neuer, they are players who have had massive careers. They're going to be counted on to lead things. I think at this point, Thomas Muller is probably a super sub for Nagelsmann. I don't know if that's the best role for him, but I think at this point, with the way Nagelsmann is probably going to run things, it just makes sense in terms of how Nagelsmann is thinking. Should Muller be starting? I don't know at this point. I would say yes, but I'm hearing what Nagelsmann is wanting to do, and we're reading about it. And I think given those ideas that he has, it just doesn't leave room for a player like Thomas Muller. So Toni Kroos coming back, it seems like he'll slide right into an eight spot. Ilkay Gundogan probably to step right into the 10, which I just don't like. But either way, this is a squad that will have an interesting look. It will have a very intriguing mix of talent for sure. So why could this work? Well, this could work because Nagelsmann could keep everyone off balance given the way that he tinkers, given the different ideas and strategies that he has. He's got good enough veterans like we just spoke about, but he's also got some players who are among the most exciting in Europe. When you talk about Jamal Musiala and you talk about Florian Wirtz, these are two players held in high regard who many consider probably to be what? Among the top 5 to 10 players under the age of 22. It is, in my mind, a very dangerous to the opposition mix of talent there. Can Nagelsmann find a way to make it all work? Can he rely on that experience of players like Toni Kroos and Manuel Neuer and Gundogan and have that be the foundation for players like Florian Wirtz and Musiala to be able to explode? Will there be enough complementary players like Niklas Füllkrug who can step up and just do what their positions require? I mean, Füllkrug is going to be counted on as someone who's going to be needed to finish when those opportunities come in front of the net. And he's proven to be pretty capable of doing that, especially with Germany in the brief time that he's been on the national team. He is absolutely a player who I think has made his mark as one that needs to be in the lineup, at least at this point. That said, Nagelsmann probably does have a short leash with him because we know that Nagelsmann likes Kai Havertz, and I think we're all thankful that that inverted left back experience is over. So yes, there are a lot of reasons to think it could work. The midfield and the attack could really click. This could be a group that dominates possession and is creative in terms of how it attacks. Defensively, there are a lot of questions. There aren't great center backs on this roster, and apologies to Antonio Rudiger, who is the best of the lot. He hasn't been great in his most recent appearances. The team really has no defined left back that it can trust. And Joshua Kimmich is continuing to make that transition back to right back. So this is, if you want to look at holes, this is where it could all go wrong, because defensively, there are a lot of issues. I see this back line as one that could be exposed on quick counterattacks, one that's going to leave a lot of gaps of space on the field, and that's going to put a lot of pressure on center backs like Antonio Rudiger and Jonathan Tah. Can they work together, communicate enough, and be able to pick up the scraps and stop those counters when they happen? Are they going to be able to make plays and fill that space against the likes of Kylian Mbappe, who they'll face this weekend? It's a big question. Now, I'm eager to see if on the left side, Benjamin Heinrichs or David Rahm, whoever gets the call there, if they're able to be a more stay-at-home type player, which might help the stability on the back line, or if Nagelsmann will have them charge up the field. We know that Rahm is so offensively minded, it's almost impossible for him to fill that stay-at-home role. But Heinrichs is a player who is not exactly known for his offensive prowess. I don't know exactly what he's known for, but he keeps getting his number called for Germany. Left back is a really sore point for me. I don't think there are any good options. I'm at the stage where I would even just try Maximilian Mittelstadt there and give him the opportunity to see what he can do. It is absolutely a situation where, if you think about it, if Germany was able to convince Josip Stanisic back in the day that he should play for the German national team, that he would have been a great spot. It'd been a great selection for that spot because he's dependable. He knows how to play both ways in terms of stay at home or getting up the field. It's a very interesting scenario because to me, it's just a position that I don't know is going to be filled in a good enough way that it won't be a major detriment to this Germany squad. So why it could work, we could see the best of the veterans. We could see the best of the youth all meld together and create this comprehensive and dangerous attack. But why it could all fall apart is the back line has a lot of questions. You have, again, you're going to have an inexperienced number six in terms of playing at the international level, whether that is, you know, depending on who Nagelsmann selects for that position, whether it's Pascal Gross, Robert Andrich, or whoever. It's going to be a situation where there is the possibility where that player could be overwhelmed by the moment. And I don't think we're going to see Joshua Kimmich slide to that role. It seems like Nagelsmann is pretty set on making Kimmich play right back. So there are a lot of possibilities for how all this could play out. And I know in my mind, I'm eager to see it. I just have a lot of doubts. And until I start to see something consistent and successful on the pitch, I'm going to continue to have these lingering doubts about how this could all work. So, yeah, it's extremely interesting. I mean, this is a situation that all fans really should be eager to watch. And I think many will. Well, do I think they're going to be disappointed afterward? Probably. But I do feel like this is an interesting period for German football. And if this squad can get something positive going and push this whole team in the right direction over the course of these two friendlies, there will at least be some hope. Like, there has not been hope for quite a while. I think that's all people are looking for at this point. So we're going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about a couple of players who are going to have the focus on them in Jamal Musiala and Florian Wirtz. We'll take a guess at Julian Nagelsmann's formation and lineup, and then we'll give you a prediction on this France match. So hang with us. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the preview show. This is Chuck Smith. Thanks for hanging in with Bavarian Podcast Works. As we talked about in the beginning of the podcast, in that first segment, a lot of this, how all of this plays out, is going to depend on Julian Nagelsmann, his influence and his decisions, and then how this core group all melds together, the old players with the younger players, and what kind of consistency and relationships they can build during this two-game stretch. It's a lot to ask, admittedly. But two players who I think will have a lot of focus on them and actually probably will define how this team performs are the two youngsters, Jamal Musiala and Florian Wirtz. Widely regarded as Germany's best two young players, Musiala and Wirtz have had decent seasons. Wirtz has been excellent this year. Musiala, I think, was scuffling for a while there. We would see a good performance and then he would have a couple down ones. If you're following Bayern Munich day to day, you know, it's been a little bit up and down for him. He's been a little bit streaky, but of late, he's been really, really good. And part of the reason I think he's been really good is he's been operating as a wing. Now, there's a lot of reason to think that Musiala is intent on playing the number 10 position. It's not going to happen here. We've already heard Nagelsmann say that Gundogan is going to fill that role. And that Musiala and Wirtz are probably going to be playing as forwards and working in the half spaces. So this looks like it could be a narrow 4-3-3 formation. I don't think we're going to see a 3-4-2-1 with Musiala and Wirtz sitting behind Niklas Füllkrug. Although with Nagelsmann, you really don't know, and it's tough to get a good read on what he wants to do. He could have something completely different and creative for the attack that we're not even thinking about at this point. I just don't believe that he's going to send three center backs out there, because I don't know that he actually has enough quality at center back to fill a spot, fill a position on the field with someone who's less talented than the player he'd be taking off. And that also opens up the door with the wing back positions, which I guess you could stick with Kimmich and Heinrichs, but I don't know. I don't like Heinrichs as a wing back at all. Kimmich, it's a tough spot. I mean, he could play there, but you know, given his ability to pass, his ability to be offensive minded and attack, that's an easy part. But transitioning back down to defense, he's not exactly at his top speed anymore. And it's not to say he's slow, because he's absolutely not. But, you know, he doesn't have the same legs at 29 as he did at 22. And I think that that's a fair assessment that anyone would make. But Musiala and Wirtz are going to be the two that are going to be asked to carry this torch for Germany. And a lot of how this team will develop with the attack is how these two are able to play together and feed off of each other. I mean, I think a lot of people would assume that it's going to be a seamless transition, that these two are automatically going to be able to do it. We've only seen brief glimpses of this in the past with Germany. It hasn't been great, but I think on the whole, Florian Wirtz has not been great with Germany. For whatever reason, when he makes that move from Bayer Leverkusen to international duty, something is just not clicking for him. For Musiala, he's been up and down with Germany too. There are times where he looks like the best player on the pitch, and then there are other times where he can't finish anything, and he looks like he's almost fighting himself. But I think there's a lot of reason for German fans to have hope here. These are two bright talents. These are two players who could be among the top 10 players in the world within the next 5 years. It's all completely doable for them. They have that level of talent, that level of skill, and they've been that productive. Can they work together? Can they work within the framework of what Julian Nagelsmann wants to do? Those are all questions that are going to have to be answered. I think, given the natural ability that both players have, they are more than capable of carrying the torch for Germany. They are going to be able to lead not just this team, but the future German teams into a successful future. But at first, there are going to be some growing pains. I don't expect this to be seamless right off the bat, especially with Nagelsmann putting them in the half spaces. It is going to make them more comfortable, I think. For Musiala, I think it's a little bit dangerous, because he might be tempted to drift centrally and occupy that same space as Gundogan. I don't think Gundogan is quite like Thomas Muller at Bayern Munich, where if Muller sees Musiala in that space, that he's able to get out wide and function out there until they can switch positions again. Gundogan is not, in my mind, that as versatile as Muller when it comes to that. I don't think he sees the field as well as Muller does, and is able to lead like Muller can. And this is not a commercial for Thomas Muller. I'm just trying to look at how this will all function together with Wirtz and Musiala. But I think if those two, Wirtz and Musiala, can get on the same page, this is going to make Germany have a very interesting and dangerous look. And I think that's what Nagelsmann is counting on. He's counting on Musiala being confident in himself, being able to finish in those key situations. And he's counting on Wirtz to be able to make that transition from Leverkusen to Germany, which I don't want to beat a dead horse, but he has not done it. He has not been the same player for Germany that he has been for Leverkusen. So those two players are going to have to take the next step. And I know that's a proverbial type statement there, but they have to. Germany needs them to. There is no option for them to continue to scuffle, to battle with self-confidence, to not feel comfortable on this international stage. They need to make that jump. Germany absolutely needs them, and Nagelsmann is counting on them to do it. And I don't think there's really much of a reason to think that they can't do it. These are two guys who I think are going to eventually be able to shoulder the weight of the expectations that are being put upon them. Are they ready for it right at this moment is the big question. And I want to say yes, that they are going to be able to start to take it on. And I don't, like I said, I don't think it's going to be exactly seamless. There are going to be bumps in the road. But if Germany is going to start transitioning toward its own future, It has to now put the trust into those players and deal with whatever the outcome is. And like I said, it might not be pretty at times. It might not be what you want to see. It might make the attack disjointed. But at some point, that transition has to start to happen. And why not right now? I mean, you've got a couple of friendlies now. You'll have a couple of more before the Euros. Then you'll have the Euros. But then you'll have 2 years to prep for the World Cup. And I hate to just toss away the thought of, you know, competing at the Euros for something important. But I'm really not sure that Germany is going to be equipped or ready to make a serious run at the Euros. I think if they want to start to make this, as I said, transition, they have to start just building step by step, putting that trust in Musiala and Wirtz, handing this team off to the next coach, whoever that may be, and then really start focusing on the World Cup. And I think that's how they need to operate. I think that's what they need to build to. So Wirtz and Musiala, I think, are going to be up to it, but they need to accept that responsibility, and they need to start to produce consistently on this international stage. So as you could tell, I'm absolutely going to include Wirtz and Musiala as no-brainers in how I think Nagelsmann will line his team up. So let's take a look at that. And when I say take a look, I mean take a guess. And I think this is going to be something of a 4-3-3 formation, though it could function a lot like a 4-1-2-3, if my math is adding up there. I do think it's going to have a different look. I think that whoever the number six is going to have to sit deep, and they're going to have to stay home, and they're going to have to help prevent those counters and be an extra base of protection for the back line. So that's going to be a very important role, because I think Gundogan acting as the 10 and Toni Kroos as the 8 are going to be up in the play. And let's be honest, they are not the most fleet of foot anymore either. So this is a formation and a player grouping that is going to be ripe for quick counterattacks. And France, well, what we do know is they can counter. And if you get Mbappe out in space, that's going to be a problem. So let's take a look at how we think Nagelsmann is going to line up here. We'll say it's a 4-3-3 just to keep it, I guess, kind of easy to work with. But in net, I think we'll see Manuel Neuer over Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. Neuer is, in my mind, still probably the best goalkeeper in the world. I think he's proven it. I think that he just still has that knack for making the big save, the one that looks impossible. And if he can get any type of consistent play in front of him, I think he'll do a great job with Germany. Ter Stegen definitely is a player who has a claim to the spot, but he is an annoyer. I think Nagelsmann knows that. And even though I have theorized that there still is some heat between Nagelsmann and Neuer over the Tony Topalovich situation that happened at Bayern Munich, where Nagelsmann fired Neuer's goalkeeper coach when Neuer was injured, I think the two men are probably not on the best of terms, but I think that Nagelsmann and Neuer are probably going to be able to get over that and work together for Germany, because, quite frankly, they don't really have a choice from now through the Euro 2024 competition. At center back, I think we will see Antonio Rudiger and Jonathan Tah. Nagelsmann has already said that is his preferred center back combination. There is not much competition there, to be quite honest. I think this is something that Germany is really hurting at this position. Rudiger, I think, for a couple of years now, has been Germany's best option, but my most recent memories of him playing were not good for Germany. I think that he is also kind of taken a step back, and I don't know if it's necessarily a loss of foot speed, which could be the case, or just he's getting a little bit older now. And as we all know, your reactions get a step slower. Your foot speed obviously gets slower. So I don't know if it's something to do with that. So I'm interested to see how he can lead this back line. Tah has had a fantastic season for Leverkusen. And I sound like an idiot because I'll sit here and say, I still don't believe in him. I want to believe, though, that he has gotten better from the young player who was mistake prone, who we had heard so many good things about earlier in his career. I want to say, and I want to believe that he's gotten better and that he'll be able to handle these bright lights. And it's possible because there's no reason to think he can't, given how he's performed for Leverkusen. But I still have this lingering doubt from poor performances we've seen from him in the past. I want to believe, but I need to see it. So I'm very intrigued to see how he handles the situation now that he's pretty much been handed a starting role. Will he be content that the coach has already named him a starter, or will he continue to fight and continue to improve to show that he is the right man for that job? Especially because, again, this is a team that will be in transition. Antonio Rudiger is probably not going to be a capable starter for the World Cup in a couple of years. So someone's going to need to step up and fill that void. And Tal might be the person who the next German coach will look to be the leader on the back line. The outside back positions, I do think we'll see Benjamin Heinrichs at left back and Joshua Kimmich at right back. Left back is a really open spot, as I said. I'm not really sure who I like there. I don't like Heinrichs. I don't. I haven't cared for his game. And honestly, I'm not sure Rahm is a great selection either, because he tends to leave his back line exposed, his center backs exposed, because he gets up the field and then he has trouble transitioning back. And I don't think it's a lack of foot speed for David Rahm. I think it's a lack of want to transition back quickly for him, quite frankly, at times. So while he's offensively gifted, I just don't think Rahm is a right fit at the moment, because this team, more than anything, needs some defensive stability on that back line. Kimmich, we kind of know where he's playing. We've seen him be pretty good since moving back to the position, and we've seen him be pretty lackluster at times. He has the capability to make this a boom or bust decision. If he can't adapt to working under Nagelsmann at right back, Nagelsmann's going to have to make a tough choice. Does he move Kimmich back to the central midfield, or does he just outright replace him as the right back and have Kimmich sit on the bench? Nagelsmann has some very tough decisions to make, and Kimmich could further complicate things if he can't come out and show that at one point he was one of the top right backs in the world. For Kimmich, again, this might not even be necessarily a physical tool set kind of thing. It might just be that he might not be as fully bought into playing right back as he used to be. So how he handles this role and how he accepts the responsibility of that position, it's all going to be key in determining what Nagelsmann does with that back line. At the defensive midfield spot, I'm going to say it's going to be Robert Andrich. I know a lot of people are pointing toward Pascal Gross to fill that number six role. I think Andrich is going to get the call here. I think he's had a very good season with Leverkusen, and he is someone who I think is going to be able to accept sitting deeper and staying at home while the other midfielders get up into the attack. That's what Nagelsmann probably needs with how he's forming up or how he's shaping up this team. So Andrich, to me, he's the one. He's the one that's going to have to fill that role and be the player who is going to be that link between the back line and the attack. And I think that he is more than capable of doing it. But again, it's how these players will perform when they're asked to do that on this international stage. The other midfield positions, I think we will see Toni Kroos and Ilkay Gundogan. Kroos, it's going to be interesting because I don't think his game has changed all that much from when he initially left the German national team. I think he's pretty much the same player. He's always been a great player, and he takes a lot of heat, and most of it's because of his attitude and how the things that he says and all of that. But if you just take all of the off the field nonsense out of the mix, he's still a very good player. And he sees the game in such a unique way. He's one or two steps ahead of everything. And I truly do believe that's why he's still able to play at a high level. I think physically he's deteriorated a lot. I don't think he has anywhere near the type of foot speed he used to have, but his mental state is so good and still so far ahead of the pace that he just is able to go out and compete at a high level. Ilkay Gundogan will fill that number 10 role. Not too thrilled about that. I don't hate Gundogan, and I still think he's a good player. I don't like him in this 10 role. I'm sorry, I just don't. So how he works out there, we'll see. I hope he proves me wrong. I hope he has a great set of games here, and he shows that he's got the vision and offensive capability to help lead the attack. As far as that attacking group goes, we know that we're going to see Florian Wirtz and Jamal Musiala working in those half spaces as wide forwards. And we will probably see Nicholas Fullkrug as the striker. So that's who I've got in that starting lineup. It's not bad, honestly. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Kai Havertz is a potential striker, could be in there. We could see that. I would love to see Maximilian Bayer get some run here because the youngster has, to me, shown that he's got some incredible foot speed. He's got a knack for getting in front of the net and being able to contribute offensively. I would really like to see that. Denis Undav from Stuttgart, I think, is another possibility. So if Fullkrug doesn't get his act together and can't be the kind of striker that Nagelsmann wants, there are some options. One name you'll notice that is not there is Alexander Pavlovich, who is out sick. And what a man, what a tough break for the kid. He has done so well, and he had just made that decision to play internationally for Germany, but now he'll miss this entire break or this entire training camp with Germany instead of games because he's sick. It's very unfortunate for him because, again, this is a player who probably could have been in line to compete at one of those midfield spots because he's been that good. So hopefully during the second half of the season, this last stretch run here, Pavlovich can stay playing at a high level and he can make himself an option for Nagelsmann as this year winds down and as they head into those two international friendlies that will be played in June. As far as a prediction goes, I don't know how serious France is going to take this. It's an international friendly. They're pretty much already established. They've got their top players nailed down. There's not much experimentation that needs to be done from a France standpoint. Germany, though, has a lot to work on. They have a lot of determination. They have to show that they are capable of defending their home turf at the Euros. I think Germany's going to be motivated. I think France is still a lot better than Germany. So I'll say it'll be this, a 2-2 draw. Both teams are going to have some moments. We're going to see some good stuff out of Germany. We're also going to see some worrisome moments. But I think 2-2 is pretty fair in this point because I don't think France is going to go all out. I think Mbappe will make a token appearance, probably score a goal, and then get the hell out of the game. But Germany's going to have to take it a lot more seriously than France will. For France, this is just really, you know, trying out some new things, getting a feel for newer players, or just taking a look at how it wants to line up heading into the Euros. So that's how I see it. 2-2 draw. We'll see what happens with that. I hope you enjoyed this preview show. We will, of course, keep our normal podcast schedule going. So you'll hear the weekend warm-up drop on Thursday. That should have some good stuff for you because this has been a wild week of news surrounding Bayern Munich. So I hope you tune into that. And then we'll have all of our normal coverage of this Germany-France game, though this could be very difficult for those of us in the United States to watch. As far as I can see right now, it's only on Fubo, which that's kind of tough. So hopefully something breaks or hopefully some of our international folks on the BFW staff will be able to provide that coverage that you guys all love to see. So thanks for hanging with us. As always, you can get me at the Barrel Blog on Twitter. You can get this podcast at Bavarian Podcast. You can get our site at Bavarian FB Works. You can get our Tweetmeister, Tom Adams, at TommyAdams71. You can get I Need No Name at BFWINNN. You can get Siler at BFW Siler. So, hey, enjoy this match over the weekend. Have a couple of beers on me, and we will see you next time.